Last month when I was with you, we looked at how Joshua had been prepared by God to serve. And now I'd like us to look at how Joshua was commanded by God. Joshua commanded by God. And to do so, we're going to go back to Joshua chapter 1. And let's read the first 9 verses together. Joshua chapter 1 and read in the first 9 verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. When I was working, one of my favourite times of the year was my annual review. This was that set period of time where my manager, whatever position they held in the business that I was working for, would allocate time to spend with me to talk about my progress. It was a time where my manager would perhaps motivate me, would encourage me, but it was also a time where my manager would challenge me, would perhaps set objectives for the year ahead. And it's interesting because when we come to study Joshua chapter 1, I was thinking it's almost like we're joining Joshua for his personal development review, his PDR, which is what we used to call them. And we're joining it right at the time where God is setting the objectives for Joshua for the years ahead. And what a critical time this is. Joshua's time as Moses' assistant has ended. And a new chapter in his life is about to begin as leader of the Israelites. And right here in verse 9, God is commanding Joshua, but he's also challenging Joshua. He's motivating him and he's also encouraging him. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. What a list of objectives. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, although we are saddened today that we can't be together physically as your church and as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, we do want to thank you so much for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we can be together and to share in fellowship, even electronically through the technology that you give us, Lord. Thank you for that. And thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your words of encouragement, of motivation, of challenge to Joshua hundreds of years ago. And Lord, we pray as we meditate on them now, as we study them together, that you would bless our time around your word right now, Father, that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us afresh, motivate us, and challenge us as your people today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are 4 commands that Joshua is given by God. 2 do's, to be courageous and to be strong, or to be strong and courageous, and 2 don'ts, to not be terrified and to not be discouraged. And then there's also this wonderful promise of assurance at the end of the verse, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I think that promise is key in order for Joshua and for us today to be obedient to these four commands. But as we come to look at this verse, in particular verse 9 today, let's start at the beginning and with God's command to be strong. After all, it is the first command, and the order, as is so often the case in the Bible, is of importance. I think to be strong is still highly valued in 21st century Britain, arguably almost just as much as it would have been in Joshua's day. But we may feel that over time, how the world views strength has perhaps changed a little bit. Our understanding of strength has changed. Today, we still value physical strength. We also value perceived strength, how many votes you can get in an election, how many friends or allies that you have. That's pretty similar to Joshua's time. But we also look at someone's mental strength and consider someone's mental strength more and more now. Certainly in sporting circles, we talk about this more and more, how an athlete or a team will respond to a significant defeat. Perhaps how an athlete will come back from a nasty injury. What is their mental toughness like? On occasions, I've also heard people talk about someone's emotional strength, someone's ability to embrace a wide array of feelings and emotions, and they're able to transition from one to another with awareness, with self-control, and they're always able to confidently express themselves. Well, God's plea here for Joshua to be strong isn't telling Joshua to be physically strong. It's not a case of making sure that he's got to be in the gym 5 out of 7 days. That's not going to guarantee Joshua success as he sets out for the promised land. It's also not about being strong mentally. His own mental toughness was never going to be enough in leading this growing nation of Israel. And whilst Joshua, I'm sure, would need to be emotionally strong, God also isn't here telling Joshua to be strong emotionally. No, God is commanding Joshua to be strong in the strength of the Lord. That's why verse 9 doesn't conclude after the four commands. Be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged. For, could easily be translated, because the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua can be strong in the Lord because God will always be with him. Joshua needed to be, and we need to be, fully reliant on God's strength and not our own. It's God's strength that will enable Joshua to lead the growing nation of Israel. And it's God's strength that will guarantee him success as he goes into the promised land. Charles Spurgeon said, "It's not the strength of your faith that saves you, but the strength of him upon whom you rely." Imagine with me just for a moment if the Great Commission that Jesus gave to his disciples and to us today read as follows. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Imagine if it stopped there. I don't know about you, but I would be really worried. I would be thinking, well, I can't do this. I haven't got a constant supply of energy to go and make disciples of all nations. I don't know whether or not I can teach the way you want me to teach, Lord. I'm not as educated as perhaps what I feel I need to be. And with regards to baptizing people, well, I'm not even the most confident person in water. Ask my wife the next time I'm with you. Lord, I can't do what you're asking me to do. Well, Jesus' great commission thankfully didn't finish there. Jesus told his disciples, Jesus tells us today, just as God told Joshua hundreds of years before, that he promises to be with us. The Great Commission finishes, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We don't make disciples, we don't baptize people, teach people about Jesus being reliant on our own strength. nor do we serve alone. Jesus promises to be with us through the Holy Spirit, and it's his strength that we must rely on and depend upon. Coming back to our passage in Joshua chapter 1, did you notice the best way for Joshua and the best way for us to learn more about God's strength? Is it reflecting on our own experiences of God's strength at work? Because that's certainly a good thing to do, to reflect in our own lives of what God has done and where we've known God's strength. But it's interesting, isn't it, that God doesn't tell Joshua to do that here. He doesn't remind Joshua of how they crossed the Red Sea, how they witnessed the Egyptian army being completely destroyed by God's strength and power. Well, maybe then the best way to learn more about God's strength is to reflect on God's strength in the lives of others. And God does mention Moses, doesn't he, in verse 5 of our text, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." Although, again, notice that God doesn't give examples of how his strength was evident in the life of Moses. I believe the way that God wants Joshua, the way God wants us to learn more about his strength and how to obtain his strength is by reading his word, the Bible. If you look at these opening 9 verses in the book of Joshua, well, other than the task in hand to inherit the land that God talks about with Joshua between verses 2 and 6, and the command for Joshua to be strong and courageous repeated 3 times in our verses, God's word is the other subject matter that God chooses to talk about with Joshua. In verses 7 and 8 we read, "Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it." So I think there are 2 immediate points of application for us today if we want to learn more about what it is to be strong in the strength of the Lord and to rely on that strength. And the first thing is this: we need to be obedient to his word. Be careful to obey all the law. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. We need to be obedient to God's word. Not just the commands or the instructions that we find it easier to be obedient to, but also the areas in our lives where there is still sin, where the devil is itching to have a foothold. Whether that be pride, whether that would be coveting other things that we see in the shops or when we're online looking at various different things, when we're looking at houses. Perhaps it's selfishness. Perhaps we need to be more obedient to God with our truthfulness. Perhaps we need to gossip less with our neighbours. We cannot pick and choose what areas of God's word we want to be obedient to. God tells us to be obedient to all of his word. And being obedient to God's word, well, it enables us to enjoy a closer relationship with Jesus and enables us to be stronger in him. If you go forward a few chapters in the book of Joshua, you come to that wonderful victory in chapter 6 over that city of Jericho. And although it's an act of God, we see that act of God not because of the times that Joshua and the Israelites marched around the city, not because of how the trumpets were blown or the vibrations caused by those trumpets. No, that city fell because Joshua and the Israelites were obedient to God's word. Secondly, God tells Joshua to meditate on his word day and night. So every opportunity that we get, even if it's just a short passage that we choose to read, we should read God's word. We should meditate on God's word. We should study God's word. We need our a daily review rather than an annual review. We need our daily review with God Almighty, the ultimate manager. You know, unlike our managers at work, that perhaps it's just an annual review, God has always got time for his people. We need to allow God to speak to us. God's word teaches us all about God's strength and what it looks like. And I've chosen just a few verses as an example of this. And I'm sorry if I don't quote your favourite verse here. But the Bible says, firstly, in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11, look to, or the ESV translates it as seek the Lord and his strength. So the Bible tells us we need to be active in seeking God's strength. Let's not be idle. If we're feeling weak, well, you need to do something about this. You need to seek the Lord and his strength. Secondly, we read in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, but those who hope, or those who wait in or on the Lord, renew their strength. So what should we do if we've been praying for strength and God doesn't seem to be answering our prayers, we still feel quite weak? Well, we need to pray. We need to wait on the Lord, because he will renew our strength. The Bible also goes on to say in Psalm 29, verse 11, the Lord gives strength to his people. What a wonderful encouragement that verse is to us. Notice the psalmist doesn't say God may give strength to his people, or God's going to give strength on a particular date to his people. The psalmist simply declares the Lord gives strength to his people. There is certainty there that God will give us strength. And then what does that strength really look like? What is the substance of that strength? And for that, we go to Nehemiah chapter 8, or certainly it's one of my favourite verses to go to, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. A Christian can be someone who is incredibly physically and even mentally weak, and yet they can be so strong in the strength of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And later in 2 Corinthians, Paul goes on to say, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power, my strength is made perfect in weakness. So God, through Paul, says, my grace is sufficient for you, my power is made perfect, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. It's incredible, isn't it? The number of times in our Christian lives where the strength of our faith and our witness to unbelievers is almost at its strongest, when sometimes we can be physically at our weakest. Have you ever wondered, why is this? Why does God have it that way? Well, the Bible tells us that it's so that people can see God's strength at work in us and give him praise. 1 Peter chapter 4, we read, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised. God commanded Joshua. He commands us today to be strong. How can we be strong? Well, firstly, by knowing that God is always with us. That is the source of our strength. And through his word, we learn that we need to seek his strength. We need to wait on it, and we need to know for certain that God will give us his strength. And finally, that wonderful truth that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We'll be quicker now, but let's move on to the second command that God gave to Joshua, to be courageous. And if we're listening today to God's word and we're feeling wonderfully strong in the strength of the Lord and in our faith, well, that's great. But let us be prepared that God wants us to use that strength, that faith that he's given us. God commanded Joshua to be strong, and we've just looked at what that means. But God also commands Joshua to use that strength, to step out in faith and to be courageous. The promised land isn't going to be conquered by Joshua if he doesn't actually stand up and go across the Jordan River and lead the people of Israel into the land. When I was preparing this message, I was immediately reminded of words from my favourite book in the Bible, the book of James. James says this in chapter 2. What good is it, my brothers, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. We need to be Christians whose faith drives us to action, not just talk, not just attending church on Sundays or whenever we can attend church again. But we need to be action men and women, and this will take courage. That's why God says, be courageous. God clearly wanted Joshua to be a man of action. Verse 1 in our text, get ready to cross the Jordan River. Pack up your tents, get everyone together, Joshua. Verse 6, you will lead these people to inherit the land. It's not going to happen automatically. You need to lead them, Joshua. Verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. You've got to share it, you've got to teach it, Joshua. And again, at the end of verse 8, be careful to do everything written in it. I don't know what God has planned for you, for each of us to do over the week ahead. It may not be publicly declaring the gospel, but the Spirit may prompt you to share your faith with a friend. In the current climate, maybe it's to send a message to someone who is in self-isolation, or someone that you're unable to meet with socially that you would normally do in a bigger gathering, and we're unable to now, so you feel compelled to share your faith with them. I don't know what we face, but I am pretty certain of this. It may well take courage in order to do what the Holy Spirit places upon our heart to do. And what happens if we're lacking in courage? What should we do? Well, this is where, again, why I think we go back to the end of this verse and to that wonderful promise that God will always be with us, whatever we do. And it's from that promise that we draw our strength from. Remember, the order of these commands, I think, is important, because once we have drawn our strength from knowing that God is always with us, then that's also then when we find our courage. Remember Paul's words to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. How about David's declaration of courage at the start of Psalm 27? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Joshua was commanded, and we are commanded to be courageous. On to the third and fourth commands, and if you've yet to feel challenged by God's word, well, I think that's about to change. Do not be terrified, or as the ESV translates it, do not be frightened, and do not be discouraged. Did you notice when you look at these commands, God doesn't say, try not to be afraid or try not to be terrified. And he doesn't say, don't stay discouraged for too long, Joshua. No, God very directly commands Joshua, do not be terrified and do not be discouraged. And just a note of caution here, please don't look at these verses and think, well, that's okay, because God is talking to Joshua here hundreds of years ago. He's not talking to me today. Because you may or may not know, but God's command to not be afraid is one of the most repeated phrases throughout the whole of the Bible. In fact, most scholars say it's repeated well over 100 times. And these two commands, to not be terrified or not to be discouraged, are almost paraphrased identically in Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41:10 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed or do not be discouraged, for I am your God. You see, I believe that God, in his infinite wisdom, is revealing perhaps the two most common things that stop men and women of faith from stepping out of their comfort zone and using their gifts to serve him: fear and discouragement. Think about your own life. Think about times when you haven't done what you felt God was calling you to do, when you didn't take that opportunity to share your faith with a neighbour or with that work colleague by the coffee machine or with that school friend. Was it fear or was it discouragement? I wonder whether or not if anyone's bold enough to say to themselves whilst listening to this message or watching this message, well, I've been obedient to these commands my whole life. I've never been afraid and I've never been discouraged. Really? Even over the last few weeks with the pandemic that we now face with coronavirus, have you not had a momentary sense of fear? If not for yourself, for perhaps a family relative? I think it's easy at the moment to perhaps have some concern, to have some fear. What about discouragement? It's interesting, isn't it? As human beings, I think we can receive 10 compliments about something that we've done and maybe just one negative remark. And yet, how prone are we to focus in on that one negative remark? How easy it is for us to become discouraged. And we can be discouraged in other ways as well. Again, thinking of the current situation with the coronavirus. Michelle and I were so looking forward to being with you all today. And I'm sure some of us are discouraged that we're unable to meet physically together. What about times when we feel we've really stepped out in faith, in God's strength? We've done what this verse has commanded us to do, what God has told us to do. We know that God is with us and we've drawn strength from that. We've gained courage from that and we've shared our faith with someone that we thought we would never be able to share our faith with. And yet that person perhaps hasn't shown any interest at all. They didn't ask one question. In fact, now when the next time we saw them, they kind of distanced themselves from us after we'd shared the gospel with them, and we feel discouraged. Fear and or discouragement normally means no more action. And we need to be aware of this in church circles as well. I remember in my home church here where a young man stepped out in faith and encouraged and led a midweek meeting for the first time a couple of summers back. And sadly, although many of us enjoyed and benefited from that time of fellowship together, one person was overly critical and he was discouraged and he hasn't taken a meeting since. We need to be aware of discouragement in church environments as well. But in thinking about fear and discouragement, I think it would do us good to remember that God created us. God knows us better than anyone else. He knows the human heart, and he knows that despite telling Joshua 3 times in just 9 verses to be strong and courageous, that Joshua is human. We're human. We're prone to distraction. We're prone to losing our focus. We forget God's promises, or sometimes we choose actively not to meditate on the promises that God gives us. And when this is the case, God knows that fear and or discouragement can grip us. It happened to Joshua. I mentioned earlier about chapter 6 and that tremendous victory over the city of Jericho. And yet in chapter 7, there's this defeat in battle against the people of Ai. And we find out it's caused by Achan's sin. And Joshua must have been discouraged by this. And yet what's the first thing that God says to Joshua in verse 1 of chapter 8? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. How can we be obedient to these 2 commands? Well, again, I think what we need to do is come back to the end of this verse. Know that God is always with us, wherever we go. And when we keep our focus on God and our faith in him and on his promises, well, this is where we find our strength. And this is where we draw our courage. And with God with us, we can really face our fears head on. That's what we're taught in the Bible. That's why David was able to declare in Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." If we have been, or indeed if we are currently frightened or discouraged about anything, Well, I would suggest that perhaps the first thing we need to do is to seek the Lord in prayer and to ask him for forgiveness for our fear and for our discouragement. But then we need to pray that the Holy Spirit would empower us, give us strength, give us courage, so that we would conquer our fears and our discouragement in his strength. We read in 2 Timothy, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline." I think Timothy needed to hear this. He was a young leader of a church, and he faced far more opposition to the gospel than what we face in England today. He likely faced so much fear and discouragement that Paul had felt compelled to remind Timothy of these words, that God does not give us a spirit of timidity, but one of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So, brothers and sisters, do not be terrified and do not be discouraged. I feel I've likely failed miserably to do this wonderful verse in Scripture justice in these few moments. But I will say this, at any point in the week ahead, if you feel afraid, if you feel discouraged, if you're feeling weak, if you're not feeling very courageous, well, meditate on these wonderful words that God said to Joshua and that God says to us today. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And to close, just a short word for anyone who may be watching this, listening to this, who isn't trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, who doesn't know their Heavenly Father, the God of the Bible. Because for you, I'd like to use this same verse, but perhaps use it a little bit out of context. It's not easy being a Christian in 21st century Britain. It's certainly not very fashionable at the moment to be a Christian. Maybe God today is challenging you to be strong and courageous, to maybe listen to another message from his word following this one, to explore Christianity further, even if a family member, even if a friend or a work colleague is trying to discourage you from exploring Christianity. Maybe you need to be told to be strong and courageous by God to keep exploring what it means to be a Christian. However, the Bible tells us that simply listening to God's word or simply coming along to church won't be enough to be saved when Jesus returns to judge each and every one of us. So maybe God is also telling you right now to not to be afraid. Don't be discouraged from perhaps emailing the church and asking a question about exploring Christianity further. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid from seeking another Christian and asking them how they've known God's strength in their life, how they've known God's presence. What does it mean to face your fears head on, knowing that God is always with you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and know that he will be with you always, wherever you are, and whatever happens. Amen.